The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
A good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. Hope you had a great weekend. I know you enjoyed the Texans game. It was fun and frivolity. It was nonstop hijinks and hilarity. Offense all over the place, throwing the ball all over the field, running up and down the field. It was like a circus. It was like a merry-go-round.
That was the first half.
That was actually a good half. That was a good half of football.
No, I thought you were just describing just the first half.
No, I was describing the whole game.
No. They were shut out in the second half.
Well,
the first half was the frivolity.
Shut out is an understatement.
Yeah, the first half was the frivolity.
It was fun.
Stuff.
I mean, Deshaun driving him down the field at the end of the half to get the touchdowns.
A few times.
I mean, that was good, clean
fun.
No,
that was the first half. The second half was misery, gloom. You were downtrodden, beaten about the neck, head, shoulders, and torso. That's what the second half was.
That really, I got some numbers for you.
I'm a numbers guy.
I know you are.
I'm interested.
Okay, 9-11.
That was a terrible time.
Yes. Time of possession, Texans second half.
Ooh, that's a time of possession.
Yes. Texans second half time of possession.
So that's 20.50 to 9.49. Yeah, I did notice the Texans had like 47 plays, and the Steelers had something like 70.
I'm sorry. It's 9.49 and 2011. 2011. 9.49 and 2011.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, well, that's not as bad.
No, that's not as bad.
That's not nearly as
bad. Okay. How about 17?
17. Rushing yards, second half?
Oh, no. It wasn't even close to 17 rushing yards. It was 3 rushing yards in the second half.
What's 17?
17 is number of plays in the second half.
Yeah, I knew that was super low.
Yep.
So it happens when teams run against
41.
You.
41.
41 number of passing yards second half.
No, actually, number of total yards in the second half.
Ooh, that's low.
38 was the net passing yards in the second half.
38 was the net passing yards in the second half.
Yeah.
Huh. That's low.
That's really, really low.
That's low.
And 3 rushing yards. Good thing you gave David Johnson all that money, because you know what? He was awesome. Just destroyed. Just up and down. Up and down.
I got some numbers for you.
Okay.
Are you done with your numbers?
I'm done with my numbers.
Let me see. Here's some numbers for you. 188.3
would be rushing yards against.
Uh-huh. For the first 3 games this season, 188.3 yards per game rushing. What about 119?
119. I'm going to say 119 would be Texans rushing yards?
No, it'd be the amount of... Not even close. It'd be the number of rushing yards allowed in the second half of games this season.
Ow. Ooh.
119.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that would be no team since at least 2000 has allowed 100-plus rushing yards in a half over a full season. Texans have a chance to do something that...
No team has what?
No team since 2000 has allowed 100-plus rushing yards in a half over a full season.
Wow.
So the Texans have a chance to do something they haven't done for 20 years.
Yep.
Texans, of course, have allowed each opponent to rush to have a 100-yard rusher. James Conner, over 72.5 rushing yards is the layup.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I don't know why Vegas would even put that there for an individual rushing total. The Texans are the first team since the 2009 Texans to allow 160 rushing yards in each of the team's first 3 games since 2009 when the team started 1-2. They finished 9-7 that year, but they missed the playoffs.
So they're breaking their own. The last time a team allowed that, that's the last time a team allowed 160 per game, and it was 2009, and it was the Texans again.
Deshaun has a 105.9 passer rating in the first half of games and a 77.2 in the second half of games. His passer rating in the first half was 112.5 points higher than in the second half.
Makes sense.
That feels high.
That feels right.
He was 5 of 9 for 62. Second half. No touchdowns, 1 interception, and a 37.5 passer rating.
5 of 9 for Well, not net. Net was just...
Well, they add was 41. Sacks.
Yeah, they add sacks later.
I'm just telling you what he threw for. Right, that's what shows up in his real
net
stats.
Was just 40 was... no, net passing was 38.
That's the first time in Deshaun's career the Texans have been shut out in the second half of a game.
Really?
They've been shut out twice in the second half with other quarterbacks.
Well,
that time. But good news. Huh? Good news.
Mm-hmm.
Randall Cobb, Will Fuller, and David Johnson all had 40-plus first-half scrimmage yards. No Houston player had 40-plus scrimmage yards in the second half against Pittsburgh. So that's not the good news, is that nobody did that in the second half. What the good news is, they had three players with 40-plus yards in the first half. That's the good news.
Well, yeah. Well, Cobb did have a 34-yard catch in the second half.
Well, that was it.
Basically the play.
Basically all of your offense.
Oh, that's it. That was the whole offense.
You couldn't protect. You did a great job of protecting in the first half. You couldn't protect in the second half. You couldn't run in the second half. You barely got any plays. You definitely couldn't stop the run in the second half. I thought the Steelers were letting the Texans off the hook by not running the ball in the first half. I was like, wow, they keep throwing with Ben. And this is kind of, you know, working in their favor. They'd have a short yardage. They wouldn't even bring in James Conner. They'd try to run with Jalen Samuels or McFarlane. I'm like, God, I'm glad they're not bringing 30 in for the short yardage. And then they figured it out on a fourth down, and then they said, wait a minute, what have we been doing? Kiss, give the ball to Conner and see what happens. Conner, McFarlane, not Snell. I think I've said somebody else. But, well, no, they had Jalen Samuels. Yeah, they ran four different running backs, but...
Have you guys reached this number or gotten to this stat number yet? The Texans have 12 quarterback hits this year. Deshaun Watson has been hit 33 times this year.
Is that high?
12 versus 33?
I wouldn't want to get hit.
Which one is worse?
Well, it depends. If you're Deshaun, getting hit 11 times per game is not great.
No.
Yeah. I almost saw Whitney Mercilus.
He had four tackles.
He combined with Aminihou.
Did he, though?
He had four tackles and a tackle for a loss.
Did Whitney get half a sack with Aminihou?
They didn't give him. Nope.
They didn't give him that. No. You're a little disrespectful.
They didn't let him scurry to the pile for the sack. Although he was there. I mean, he was getting close.
He was close.
He and JJ and Aminihou all had pressure there. All three of them did their jobs.
Yeah. No. He did. No, they gave it to Aminihou, who they should have given it to.
Texans Watsons find themselves sitting at 0-3 again is one of my NFL stats things. Mm-hmm. Since 2014, Bill O'Brien's first season as the head coach, the Texans are 8-13 in weeks 1-3. Houston's 1-3 win percentage is 38% with a 69-point differential and 10 turnover differential. However, their weeks 4-17. It's 56 win percentage, plus 54 point differential, and plus 17 turnover difference. So this is what they do.
This is where they start.
This is what they do.
I was listening to the pregame. I was driving around listening to the pregame. John McClain came out, and Seth said, "Hey, John, I was amazing. I was looking through your notes for the game, and you know the Texans are third in the league in pass defense. That is just amazing." And I was like, "You know why, right? Because no one has to pass against them."
Yeah, that's not...
I mean...
That's like saying somebody is a bad passing team because they run for 250
right,
yards a game.
Right, if you don't... That like you said, why in the world are you throwing with
that? I didn't know why.
Just run the ball.
I mean, they could easily run the ball against the Texans if you commit, and they didn't commit. Zach Cunningham is... That's wasted money. Bernardrick McKinney, not fast enough to go sideline to sideline. You don't have guys in the secondary who are coming up and make... There's no Kareem Jackson, who Kareem was a really great tackler around the line of scrimmage. They don't have that anymore. Kareem Jackson there from the nickel spot coming up and making solid tackles, cutting people's legs out. They don't really have that. I saw it a couple times, I guess, but Justin Reed...
Made a nice tackle
ever since
up,
Justin Reed
run.
Started popping a pop, pop, a pop, and pop, pop, he hasn't had a good season ever since he did an HEB commercial.
Uh-huh.
So
ever since he's been popping, pop, pop,
pop, and the pop, pop goes the poppers because the poppers go pop.
Hargraves made six tackles. So Hargraves made six tackles because his guy was catching the ball a lot. That and he came up and I saw him make a stop on a run.
Yeah, I mean, they do have guys coming up and making stops.
Yeah.
Just Kareem was really on a different level.
I'm telling. Look at this.
Now their opponents are 7-0 right now.
Yeah.
And that's because they have two Steelers 3-0, but they have two 2-0 teams. So somebody's catching a loss. It's going to be 8-1 after today. Because the two teams that beat up on the Texans will play each other.
Yeah, but they're
0-3 against the number.
They're 7-0 right now, and in large part because of the Texans. Okay, so three of them are because of the Texans. So,
well, I think the Ravens, and I think they win games anyway.
Right. No, that's true. Okay, let me ask you this question: who's a better 0-3 team, them or the Falcons?
That's really not easy. I mean, the Falcons, as long as there's a fourth quarter, the Falcons are doomed. I guess I got to say Texans.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
The Falcons have led by 20. The Falcons against, this week were just gave up in the fourth. The Falcons are a much better team than
against
the Texans.
But they did it against the Bears.
Yeah, but the Bears, this is what the Bears do. The Bears come back on everybody.
Bears stink. And then they're losing against bad teams.
They didn't lose. They're 3-0.
They were losing against Detroit by 21.
And beat their ass.
That's what I'm saying. Do you want to talk about the biggest joke of a 3-0 team in league history?
Maybe not league history. No, but
they were losing by 16 by 21.
I'll take the Falcons every day over the Texans.
Well, because they have offense.
Yes.
They have offense. Yes. But who have they played?
They played the Cowboys and lost by a 20-point lead.
That's a 1-2 Cowboy team, by the way.
They played Seattle, right?
Who should have lost
Seattle. A 3-0 team that's pretty flipping good.
Yeah, that's a good team.
And they were actually competitive in that game.
Yeah, they were.
And name all the games the Texans were competitive in.
Well, they don't have any even covers. They're 0-3 against a number.
Yeah.
So they haven't even covered.
Yeah, that. Yet. Yeah.
Yeah. But try to bleep with the weeks 4 through 17 Texans. It's a little different story, isn't it? Does Dan Quinn coach? Does Dan Quinn coach after today?
Well, we'll see about that whole week four through 17 thing.
Oh, they'll smash the Vikings. The Vikings aren't very good. Vikings did give the Tennessee Titans the business.
Yeah.
Why would the Texans smash the Vikings?
Yeah, they're gonna smash them.
Why?
Oh my goodness!
I don't know if Dalvin Cook's gonna be healthy, but if he plays, you expect that to go well?
Did Dalvin get hurt?
I think so.
That's a shocker. Dalvin almost never gets hurt, except every year and every year since college.
Hmm.
But giving him a bunch of money.
I don't know.
And by the way, your slander for Jordan Jefferson or Justin Jefferson, he hurt you.
How did I slander him? Somebody said
I slandered him.
John slandered
him. Yeah, some guy said that I called him just
me.
A guy.
No, it was me. I didn't slander him. I said, you know what? I made him step up.
Oh, okay.
That's what I did.
Yeah, Dalvin Cook went for 181 on Sunday. But he apparently he was resting when the Titans needed him most. I thought I saw that he got hurt, but maybe not. But he went for 181 yesterday. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, Jordan had a monster game.
Justin.
Justin, you know who he was doing it against, too? I think it was J-Jo. I thought I heard J-Jo's name called. He was throwing beatings yesterday.
It was a fun day. Anybody wants to get in, you're more than welcome at 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. So you know where I went Saturday before the games started? I went over to Texas Star Grill Shop on Shepherd and 59. And the store is unbelievable. So, I'm getting a new grill, and I got the DC, and I picked out the DCS, which is like it just cooks the food by itself. It's unbelievable. But all of the grills there, you go up and down, and it's nonstop. It is just grill after grill after grill. After grill that is on sale right now. And they've got everything else. The pizza makers, they had a giant burner there that was a wok that could feed 50 people out of this wok. And it's just everything in there is state of the art. Everything can't be better. They can do an entire outdoor kitchen for you. Rick and Michelle have done an unbelievable job. Gus is the manager over there. They can't be better at what they do. I got all the information that I could possibly need, and it was fantastic. The whole thing was fantastic. And if you're looking for that grill, they got the fall sale going on right now. Assembly and a delivery absolutely free at Texas Star Grill Shop. They've got one in Katy, they got one in Spring, they got one here in Houston, and they're opening another one next month over here near Memorial. So if you're looking for the best grill, this is the time to buy it. There's no better time than right now at TexasStarGrillShop.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Guys, this fall, as you get back into the swing of things, Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collections for guys. It's guaranteed to upgrade your life. Really cool stuff in here. Whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers, you've got cozy clothing and threads for when the temperature dips. Bespoke Post only sends guys the best stuff every single month. That's why it's called Bespoke. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, outdoor gear. Really, really awesome. Tell you what, I love the Weekender bag right now, which is part of the Box of Awesome. Or how about this one? The Layers is something that you can get with flannel shirt, and it's brushed flannel. They've got boot socks to match as well. This is your opportunity to get started. Take the quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them pick out the perfect box for you. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I mean, I don't think so. I mean, they do what they do, you know, and we just weren't able to protect or run the ball. And, you know, like I said, we'd be in second and 16, second and 19, second and 26. And I think, you know, anytime you're behind the sticks like that, you know, you're so off schedule, you really don't have a chance of getting the first down. It's not good. So I don't think they do what they do. I give them credit. They play a very fundamentally sound defense, and they did a better job than we did in the second half.
Well, let's see how accurate that was. That second and 21, second and 16, second and... Let's just take a look in the second half.
Okay.
All right. So in this...
Are you about to tell me that Bill O'Brien's going to say something that wasn't accurate?
So in that second half, the Texans had their first possession. They were second and 7. They punted it away. Their second possession, they were second and 5. Right?
Yeah.
That's their second possession. They were second and 5.
Yeah.
Their third possession, they were second and 11, then second and 10, and then second and 15. Second 11, second and 15.
Uh-huh.
Second 11, second and 10, second and 15. Okay? And then in their last possession, they were second and 21. So they had in the first possessions of the second half, they were second and 7 and second and 5.
Okay.
And then they let Pittsburgh go down and score again.
Huh?
And then, you know, then they put themselves in a position where obviously they couldn't run the football. Well, they still could run. You know, they were only down 7 points. It's not like, let's just abandon everything. We got to just throw it all costs. Here we go. But here's the thing. They run on first down. You know why they were second and 11? Because David Johnson minus 1 yards. Then they were second and 10. Deshaun was sacked for 0 yards. It looked like he almost gained a yard on that play. I don't know why they called it a sack. And then they went short, pass short middle to Cooks, who lost 5 yards.
Uh-huh. Well, that was the T.J. Watt. Was that the play where they ran the the jet sweep?
Yes.
And T.J. Watt jumped on it.
Yeah.
That was dope.
That was well designed play. I always liked the plays. I think it was the first play of the game where T.J. Watt is uncovered and unblocked. The very first play of the game, T.J. Watt, who
yeah.
Well, no, you know what? He really came out of nowhere. No one knows about this guy T.J. Watt. So, you know what? How did we know that he was really, really good? Why would we scheme against a guy that no one's heard of?
I need to go back and look at it and see if they bailed out of some looks on the line of scrimmage, because they slid 5 rushers to 4. And TJ, so they had a 5-man, they slid 5 to 4. And TJ Watt came unblocked, which would mean if that's the protection, then that's Deshaun's man. He's got to know where it is, because I didn't see a running back there to pick him up.
Well, the running back was out in the route. He threw it to him.
So either the running back, okay, so then that's Deshaun's, man. If that's what they're doing.
That's a really well-designed play, I thought. You know what? Let's just let the fastest, best pass rusher go unblocked and try to throw.
I want to go back.
Quarterback, first of all, get killed. And secondly, what kind of gain would it have been if David Johnson was even able to catch the ball? I mean, how in the world do you go into a game and say, let's just not block the best pass rusher in football?
Let's be real about this. The Texans are not geared up to run the football and not geared up to stop the football. How do you think you're going to do? Well, number one, they're not committed to running the football. And then David Johnson is just, you know, he doesn't have a lot of juice. I mean, he runs fairly hard. He just doesn't have a lot of explosiveness. I think they really miss Duke Johnson right now, if you really want to know the truth.
Oh, my gosh.
Because David Johnson is sluggish.
Come on.
But they're not committed to it.
13
carries
for 23 yards.
I know. He has no juice.
Well, they miss Duke Johnson.
No, they miss somebody with a little more quickness, but it doesn't matter because they're not going to run the ball anyway.
They can't run the ball.
You can't run with a guy who is that slow in the NFL. It's just not going to work. There's a reason he wasn't successful in Arizona. He doesn't have the juice anymore. And they keep thinking they're going to get some magic back, like in 2016. The magic's not coming back, and you're not committed to being a running team anyway, so it's irrelevant. You're not committed to doing the things you have to do. Even worse is, other teams can destroy you against the run. I mean, the other teams are working you against the run. The two of them have guys who threw for ridiculous amounts of yardage, although the Ravens, I'm talking about the year prior, the Ravens are committed to running a football. But Kansas City Chiefs said, we're just going to run. I know we got Pat Mahomes, but we're just going to pound them. The Steelers figured out in the second half, what are we doing? Why are we not running a football? You can't do anything about it when teams get going.
Well, I don't know.
And Gary Kubiak comes back now.
It seemed like a good idea to throw the ball when Juju is running all by himself. At first, I thought it was A.J. Moore screwed it up.
Nah,
but then Lonnie Johnson. Then Lonnie Johnson is playing man while everybody else is. That's what I love. I love when one guy's playing man and the rest of the guys are playing zone.
Are you sure it wasn't Zach?
It was Lonnie Johnson is standing in his zone, and he follows the wide receiver across, and then Juju just is all by himself.
Nobody in the zone. I saw Zach playing zone. I didn't know, and I saw Lonnie in man coverage on a guy. I didn't know if it was zone or man. I didn't get a see.
Oh, it was zone. Nobody was running with Juju. Nobody was running with Juju.
Well, I know no one was running with him because I thought that was Zach's guy.
No, it was Lonnie. Left the zone, just ran. He's the only guy playing man on the team. He's playing man, and everybody else is playing zone. So why wouldn't you pass?
A bust for
because you can walk into the end zone.
Because you can walk into the end zone running the ball.
Well, you have to actually run though. You have to run.
Why would you pass when you can limit the Texans offense to 17 plays in the second half? They don't get the ball. You don't get a touch the ball. We'll keep getting first downs after first downs. And the Texans, who had 21 in the first half, only had 17. They had fewer plays than points in the first, fewer plays in the second half than they had points in the first half.
Yeah.
That's almost impossible. It's almost impossible to have fewer plays than you have points in a half.
It's unbelievable.
And yet they did it.
They did it. They were able to do it. Let's get Adrian in here. ESPN 97. Where'd Del go? Del left. Why is it so dark?
Because I think the electricity's out in the building.
The electricity's out in the building, Del?
I think so.
No, I'm trying to limit heat any way I can.
Oh, because the AC's not working.
Yeah, the AC's out. Let's get either it's freezing in here or it's deathly hot. Let's get Adrian in here. Hey, Adrian.
Morning, fellas.
Morning.
Another disaster on TV thanks to Emperor O'Brien. But I got a question and a comment. Yesterday after the game, they interviewed Mike Tomlin and they got to talking about Watson. He said that he had to get Watson back on schedule because when he is off schedule, he is more dangerous. And two, here's my question. What is it with the coaches in this state, in this town, about adjusting after halftime. Bill O'Brien doesn't adjust after halftime. You know, basketball, D'Antoni won't adjust after halftime. What is the problem with these coaches in adjusting after halftime? Everybody else does it. That's why in the second half you get your face kicked in. But you guys refuse to do it. All right, fellas, have another good one.
You know, I think Bill O'Brien was asked last week about the adjustment, the halftime adjustments. And he said, you know, what are the teams doing adjusting? He goes, oh, I don't know. They're just, I don't know. I think adjustments is a little.
Oh, right.
I mean, yeah, it's, I don't know. Listen, do something that's going to be successful. Well, we made you called better plays. Maybe your guys executed better. Listen, the Texans just, the offensive line is a disaster. Sharping is sharing time now.
With Bucenio Calamete.
Yeah.
Notice that.
How bad is that?
I don't know. I gotta go back and look and see what happened. See if he got hurt or see if they just pulled him out. But I noticed that too.
Yeah.
I noticed Bucenio Calamete, which you don't want him in games.
And you don't
it's like
want
Roderick
wait,
Johnson.
You got
you don't
Zach
want
Fulton on this side.
Uh-huh.
And you got Bucenio on this side.
Not preferable.
You know, Howard didn't do a bad job.
No, I thought Howard, you didn't see TJ in on a lot of stuff. Yeah, I want to go back and watch because I thought the pocket was great in the first half. It was really, he had room to throw. They did a great job. Second half was a lot more pressure. What did you need to adjust to? You had a great first half. You know, the adjustments thing are when the team's doing something and you do something different. I think the biggest problem for the Texans is they gave up pressure. They couldn't get a run game going, and then they just couldn't stop the Pittsburgh Steelers from controlling the clock. I mean, they could not get in a rhythm because they couldn't get first downs.
Couldn't get off field.
They had penalties, which put them behind the sticks, which is not good for this Texans team. I don't know if it was about adjustments, but the penalties and the sacks really put them in a bad place, and they couldn't get a running game going anyway. You know, it is true. Deshaun is more dangerous off schedule than on schedule, which is a little bit of a problem for the Texans because that means, although he was on schedule much of the time because he was sat in a pocket with time to throw, and he did a great job in the first half. But when he is able to break, contain, and make things happen, he kept his eyes up. You know, he didn't run hardly at all.
No, he didn't.
He ran technically twice, but really only one real run play. The other one, he escaped the sack and gained 1 yard.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? We'll address that on the other side.
Okay.
On the other side. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know. I know it's
not running the football.
I know it's a bad thing if you don't have a new website. I know that's a bad thing. And a new website is something you can get actually from scratch. SiteJab can build you a website in 3 to 6 weeks. Now, you may not know much about user interface. They call it UI. You may not know a lot about user interface. You may not know much about the flow of information, on websites. You may not know some of the things about how you know, they don't want you to scroll way down the page or you have to get through multiple clicks before you get to pertinent information. There are certain rules in building websites that you may not know about. So when you have your cousin Randy build your website, Randy may be building a site that turns viewers off. And that's not what you want. If you're a small to medium sized business, you want those viewers to be engaged. You want those users who are on your site to get the information they need and really to be impressed with your website. Because if they're impressed with your website, they are going to be more likely to trust your work as well and show off your work with a great portfolio section. Let the folks over at SiteJab take care of you. 2 decades in the business here in Houston. They can work directly with you, or they can work online through Zoom and get your site up and running or remodel your site. SiteJab.com. That's SiteJab.com. SiteJab.com. And if you're interested in e-commerce on your site, make sure you ask them about e-commerce as well. SiteJab.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. You're listening to
to the Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 732, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776.
You know the Watts? Texas Craig brought up a little bit of trivia. I did not know this. All three Watt brothers were in the same game. It was hardly mentioned. I
didn't see that.
Yeah, I did not know all three Watt brothers played. That's interesting.
They were in the same game.
Yeah, I'm surprised
they didn't
make a bigger deal about it, the broadcast.
Yeah.
Didn't talk about the three Watt brothers all playing together.
Never heard it.
Yeah, that's weird.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
JJ, TJ, and Derek Watt all played in the same game? Huh. I would not have known that.
Seen their parents.
Yeah, I did not see the parents either. Did they ever show the parents?
No.
At all?
Did they talk about it? You would think that they would have talked about that.
Yeah.
I would have thought, but you know.
They're not about the superficial stuff like that. They're about ball.
I
wonder if they showed any high school pictures of him at all. Where JJ's arms are about seven times the size of TJ's arms.
Yeah.
In Wisconsin.
When he was in his Wisconsin jersey and they were in their high school jerseys.
With little mohawks. They look like scrawny stick people. And JJ's got these giant arms. And I'm like, which one is TJ? Which one is Derek the fullback? Like, they just look like a couple receivers. Wisconsin receivers.
Let's get, and we'll talk about Deshaun running in a second. Dwayne, what's up?
Yes, I heard y'all commenting when I was on hold about the offensive line. And, you know, you can look at other teams and their offensive line and how they get out, you know, on their blocks on the inside when the backs, you know, spring it out on the outside. And it just looked like our offensive line just not set athletic to where they could just latch on their guy and just blow their guy off the line to where our running back can get some yards. And my other thing is about Whitney Merciless. Y'all looked at one play. It looked like Big Ben outran Whitney Merciless and almost got the first down. I'll listen to y'all, and y'all can come in on that one.
Ben looked so slow going for that first. He did get the first. No. They marked him short.
Which was a bad mark.
Seemed like a terrible
mark.
It
was a terrible mark.
They had terrible calls last night in the green twice against the Saints.
I know
that's going to shock
like
you, Saints.
The horse collar?
Yeah, that was awful.
What?
That was awful. I thought, you know, watching it live, I thought maybe it would. But how do you miss that when you're right there if you're an official on the field?
He was right there.
But that wasn't the only one. There was another one that was terrible. The Saints got jobbed twice by the refs.
The Saints always get jobbed by the refs.
I know they do. It's got to piss them off.
Yeah.
But you know what was Aaron Rodgers playing pretty well. What was you know, he makes a pretty good point. Bill O'Brien prefers, he said this early on when he came in, he prefers a man-blocking scheme. Instead of zone blocking, and they are not the most athletic unit. Zach Fulton can actually move bodies around. He actually is a pretty decent run blocker. Nick Martin's very average moving laterally. Zach Fulton can't really, he's not very good at it. Titus Howard's just average moving laterally. His lateral movement at the combine was really bad. Like, it was bad. No problem for Laremy Tunsil. He's pretty good at it. Max Sharping's pretty good at it. But from the center, right guard, right tackle, they don't really give you the backside cutoffs and the stuff like that. And then I call it the second phase of blocking. The first phase is how you get out of your stance and how you get in a position. The second phase is getting engaged and then staying engaged in a position to where you have block centered so that you can maintain your block. And the Texans are not good in the second phase. Other running game. They're not. Of maintaining their blocks, and then third phase is finishing your block. You can forget phase two and three from a consistency basis, especially against athletic defensive line. It doesn't happen a lot. So
no.
That's a problem.
So here's I despise O'Brien. Jose, he's been listening forever. I despise O'Brien so much that I now root for the other team to continue and make him look like the fool that he is. I find that a lot.
I think that's
people are.
Here's the problem, though. You're rooting against him, and he's not going anywhere. You're rooting against the Texans, and he's going to stay there.
Coach Reese says all this O'Brien hate. LOL. Hey, he ain't going nowhere. There's at least three more years of this, and I agree. I agree. There is. There's nothing now. Nothing short of a if Deshaun stays healthy, and this is a 4-win team. I think the Heat's going to get pressed. I think it's really going to.
That's what I'm thinking. It would take a four, and then it would take Deshaun. Really, the real key is if Deshaun's unhappy and either goes to management or starts tweeting again his unhappiness, even after getting paid, that's a problem.
Even still, Bill's got he's locked in here. Bill O'Brien's locked in here, people. And oh, by the way, this is going to be a 7-9 or 8-8 team.
That's what when I thought it was going to be.
And Bill O'Brien's fine.
I think you beat the Vikings.
Well, it's going to take some time.
You'll beat the Jaguars.
Because now, here's what's going to happen though: is this year's draft picks. You know what? This coming draft, they're going to pick up some good players. And listen, now
are you talking about the Dolphins or Texans right now?
Dell.
Dell's already telling
me about
Tankathon.
How about another L for your Dolphins?
I'm just ecstatic because I looked at tankathon.com/NFL this morning. Sixth pick overall belongs to the Dolphins now, thanks to the Texans. I mean, the problem is they played three 3-0 teams, so instead of being number one overall, they're only six because their strength of schedule is really strong.
Right.
But they got the Vikings coming up, and a loss there I think would help quite a bit.
Oh, a loss to the Vikings would definitely help your cause.
Yeah, so a loss to the Vikings probably jumps.
I know what the line is. Do you?
What is it?
Do you guys know what the line is for the Texans?
Texans are going to be 3.5.
Four. Texans a 4-point favorite.
Yeah.
Do you know who the offense coordinator is for the Vikings?
The offensive coordinator for the Vikings, the Minnesota Football Vikings. Mm-hmm. No, I don't.
It'll be one Gary Kubiak.
Oh,
with a zone scheme.
Oh.
134 yards rushing in game one, 80 yards rushing in game two, but they only had how many carries did they have? Because the Colts really controlled the clock and the ball in that one. And then 226 yards rushing against the Titans.
Well, the Texans, though, they're good at stopping the run, so I'm not worried about that.
Yeah.
You really have a hard time. People are having a hard time running football against the Texans.
You know what they don't stop anything, the Vikings. The Vikings have given up 522 total yards, 354 to the Colts, and then 444 yesterday. They've given up passing yards 364, 203, 310. But listen to their rushing. The Vikings are you better run the ball against the Vikings. How about the Vikings? 158, 151, 134. They're not a lot better than the Texans at stopping a run, as a matter of fact. They're a little better, but I wouldn't call it good
at
stopping a run.
Okay. In that scenario, who has a better chance to run the football against the other team?
Well, now the
David
Vikings,
Johnson,
yeah,
or Dalvin Cook.
No, if Dalvin Cook is healthy, even if it's Madison, the Vikings scheme is built to run the football.
Yeah.
Gary Kubiak's schemes are built to run the football. They have. If Dalvin Cook is healthy, it's a problem for the Texans. If he's not ready to go, it'll be interesting. The Texans started off the year with 118 yards rushing against Kansas City. They had moved the ball pretty well on the ground. Then 51 against the Ravens and then 29 against the Steelers. Tim Kelly, you just know Bill O'Brien is just itching to take over. They've scored 20, 16, and 21 so far in the first three games. I do think you beat the Vikings. After that, you're at the Titans, which will be tough. No, after that, you got Jaguars, and then you're at Titans. I think 2-4 is very likely. Then you get the Packers at home.
2-5. Heading to the break.
Then you're at Jacksonville and at Cleveland.
Well, you got a bye.
Your season, you have a bye. And then you have at Jacksonville, at Cleveland.
If they're 3-4... If they're 3-4 at the bye,
I think they're in decent shape.
They're in good shape.
They're in decent shape to finish 9-7.
Yeah. If they're 2-5,
because after the break they got five road games: at Jacksonville, at Cleveland, the Patriots at home, at Detroit, Colts at home, at Bears, at Colts. Is that run? And then you finish with Bengals and Titans. The Bengals are fairly competitive against bad teams.
Yeah.
They're fairly competitive against bad teams, but you got the Colts twice, and I think the Colts are beatable. I think the Texans can beat the Colts. You got them twice in 3 weeks. You're at the Bears in December. So we'll see how you handle that. Cam Newton and the Patriots coming in. You know, at first it looked like a Jarrett Stidham and the Patriots at one point, and you thought that's a W. Cam Newton and the Patriots no longer looks like a W at all.
Not as much fun. That's not nearly as much fun as it was going to be.
At Cleveland, guess who runs the ball really well? The Cleveland Browns run it really well.
Yeah.
Guess who commits to running the football? The Indianapolis Colts. Jaguars with James Anderson, with James Robinson. They're running a football pretty well.
He had himself a nice game yesterday.
The New England Patriots ran for over 200 yards. If you're just looking at teams who run the ball, Bengals, not a great rushing team. Tennessee, last I checked, Tennessee ran it pretty good.
Has Sony Michel lost a step, or is he just not?
He went for 100 yesterday.
I know, but he had a breakaway, and he got caught.
He doesn't have great speed.
Yeah.
He doesn't have great speed, but yeah, Sony Michel, look, you can't stop the run. You get some. Aaron Jones, last I checked, he runs pretty well for the Green Bay Packers. It's not a great, like if Dalvin Cook is ready to go, there's a ton of teams who can run a football. And they will, too.
Oh, no. You know what?
They will run it
against
you. I think
teams are going to be afraid to run football against the Texans.
What?
740. Well, watch them turn this around this week against Dalvin Cook. I don't expect Dalvin to run for more than 220.
Gary Kubiak wouldn't want to run the football.
No, he doesn't like to run the football.
If they're 1-6, is there any chance they flip it at the break?
Flip what?
Coaching staff.
Well,
no,
they're going to, I'm surprised Bill hasn't just gone, give me that IHOP menu. I'm calling the play.
The menu is going to be snatched up. If they don't win here, it's getting, and they don't do well offensively against the Vikings' sucky defense,
they win this week. Hey, I want to talk about Melinda and Richard. You know them? Me either. But I do know this. Within just 7 days, the Loken Group helped them get 16 showings, 7 offers, and they sold their home for 7% over list price. Well, what's 7%? I'll tell you what 7% is. Because when you initially put that offer out on your house, you're going to go high, right? To get 7% more is ridiculous, people. I can't tell you how many. I've got a buddy of mine. He's had his house on the market for a year and a half. Can't sell it. I'm like, just go to the Loken Group. What is wrong with you? They'll give you an immediate cash offer. You don't have to go and worry about selling it. You don't have to. The average days on the market with the Loken Group is 30 days. The average days on the market for the average agent, 56 days, nearly double. And that's, and listen, there are horror stories about how long a lot of houses are on the market. Not with the Loken Group. They are the number one in Texas group for the Keller Williams Platinum Group and number two in the world. Listen, this is not, there's a reason for this. They have more buyers than anybody else. If you're looking to buy a home or looking to sell a home, this is a great time to do it with the Loken Group. TheLokenGroup.com. You want to sell your home? You're going to love Lance Loken. I'm telling you. 281-861-4624. 281-861-4624. Or the Loken, LOKEN, group.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, we'll get to Deshaun running football in just a bit. We've got people that have been waiting. They've been sitting on hold. So let's get Todd in here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Todd?
Morning, guys. What's up?
How you doing?
All right, so I was listening to y'all talk, and I just had a random thought. If Bill O'Brien does take over play calling, when was the last time a general manager was calling play? I'll hang up and listen.
It'd be George Seifert, probably. Was he the GM, technically?
I don't know. No, he was never named GM.
In one, Oh, maybe they're not named. Yeah, I guess they're not named GM.
Yeah. I mean, the Texans actually named him GM.
Yeah, that's
true. Not even Belichick is named Bill.
Yeah, there is no other one. Not even like Ted Sundquist was a GM. No,
it might be, well, owner George Halas.
Was it? Well, no, he had Ted Thompson there. Or no, he had Ron Wolf there. Because wasn't, didn't, who was it at Green Bay? Didn't. I'm trying to remember.
Uh-uh.
You sure George Seifert? I guess he wasn't technically named GM.
No. I don't know that any. Well, I know owners. I mean, Paul Brown, but that was back in the day. I mean, that's way. The last time. Yeah, Paul Brown was an owner. He was on the sideline.
Look, George, here he is. After 2 years out of the game, he was hired by the Carolina Panthers as head coach. He was also the de facto general manager as well.
De facto.
Yeah.
Well, not named general manager.
Yeah, there was no GM. The Panthers hadn't had a general manager since Bill Polian left in 97. So he was actually the general manager, too. So it'd probably be since then. Well, I don't know if he called plays, though, actually. I don't even know if he called plays. Bill O'Brien's doing something that's never been done. And I'm not talking about
giving up. Again, he was the de facto. Doesn't mean just because they didn't have one, they didn't name him GM.
Well, no, but he was the GM.
Well, he was the de facto GM, which is not named. He wasn't named.
Well, he didn't have to be. He did all the GM stuff.
Well, that's okay, but he wasn't named GM.
Well, it doesn't matter. Bill O'Brien's doing stuff that's never been done.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the 160 yards rushing per game that they're giving up. I'm not talking about the 119 yards per game in the second half, which would be the first time since 2000 that a team gave up over 100 yards in a half for a full season. I'm not talking about any of that award-winning stuff.
No.
I'm not talking about the 8-13 run in the first winning percentage of under 40% in the first 3 weeks of the season. Look, this is – you did face – I had them losing all three games. None of this is a surprise. They haven't covered, but I had them losing all three games. I had them beating the Vikings. I had them beating the Jaguars. Nothing has really changed other than you. This is why when people go through their records, win, loss, they're doing it without factoring in things that happen in a game that give you certain emotions. They make you feel a certain way. You're 0-3. I expected them to be an 0-3. You weren't supposed to win the first three games. You could have beaten the Steelers. I thought they could have beaten the Steelers, and they could have beaten the Steelers. They were leading at half, but in the second half, they got shut out. But I don't think the Steelers are that much better than the Texans, to be honest with you. But at some point, you start wondering if the Texans have their flaws are too. It's one thing to have flaws. Every team has flaws. But when your flaws are major concerns like run defense, that becomes a big issue because then Deshaun has to do more than he's supposed to. Then if you have penalties for false starts and they get behind the sticks, the pass protection has to hold up. I don't think, you know, it's I'm not surprised they're 0-3 at all. Okay. But if they don't go 2-3 to start the season, there could be some problems. You could start to see the team turn a little bit.
Well, yeah. And rightfully, yeah, especially against these two teams. So let me ask you this question. Is Deshaun doing enough? And in the first half, it was awesome. He was throwing the ball all over, and he was buying some time, making the right decisions, throwing the ball down the field, off play, and everything else. I'm watching Kyler Murray. We watched Lamar Jackson. I mean, we saw Pat Mahomes even, you know, pretty damn mobile and coming up with a huge run in the AFC Championship game to help win the game. Deshaun is now, I don't know, is this a, I know you don't want him to get killed, but he's getting hit anyway at a clip never before known to man with 33 quarterback hits already. He had 12 yesterday, 12 quarterback hits yesterday.
That feels like a lot.
That is a ton with 5 sacks. I'm watching guys. We talked about this. Look at the week one. What did you break down? Look at the mobile quarterbacks and how good and how well they played. Mm-hmm. Every mobile quarterback except one won their game. Deshaun's a mobile quarterback, and you're not taking advantage of it. How about? Yeah, I don't want him to get killed. But
you're telling me how much he's getting hit, and then you're asking him to run more.
Well, I'm asking him. Don't stand in the pocket because you're getting killed in the pocket.
Well, he didn't, but he stood in the pocket and delivered and had a great first half.
Yeah, well,
the second half,
a lot of it was he was improvising as well. He was throwing down the field
too. Some, but he really, like, I noticed the pocket. I noticed that he had room to throw. They commented on it multiple times.
Well, it must not have been all that good since he got hit 12 times and 5 sacks.
Well, I mean, he does hang on to it a little bit. Yeah. That's what's going to happen. Yeah, that's who he is.
But if you're going to hang on to it,
he's always going to hang on more. I just don't think.
I watched Aaron Rodgers last night run it. We don't see Deshaun breaking any runs anymore.
No, I don't see him running it, but I did see him, and I was thinking about it, but then he was keeping his eyes up and making big plays. Like, he was keeping his eyes. Look, if you want him to be a great quarterback, running is not going to be it. It's the ability to keep your eyes up down the field and beat teams, and he did that in the first half. He kept his eyes up and beat teams.
That's what he's being coached Aaron to Rodgers do. Rodgers to do that either, but when he has to, he does.
I think
Ben Roethlisberger ran more than Deshaun did yesterday.
I think Deshaun, but I don't think he was making mistakes with what he was doing. Like, I hear what you're saying.
Throwing down the middle late and getting picked.
Well, that was dumb. I mean, you threw across your body. Yeah, that was a dumb throw. Actually, that wasn't even late. That was.
Yeah, it was. He was all the way to the sideline and he threw late.
No, threw late, but he wasn't late in the game.
No. Yeah, it was late in the game. It was the
second. No, they had a chance to.
It was the last possession because they held onto the ball all the way. They finished it off. It was the last possession they had.
Well, I knew they were going down to what tie or what was the score at that time?
Yes, they were down.
Yeah, I mean they were going down to It was not like the game was out of hand or anything like that.
No, I'm not saying that.
A dumb throw. It was a dumb throw. But other throws, when you go back and rewatch it, and you'll see how many times he keeps his eyes up and does what good quarterbacks do, which is make some explosive plays or some quality plays by keeping his eyes up. I do think
you
at times...
You can keep your eyes up and run, too.
Yeah, I just don't think he has to if he's doing a good job throwing the football. I think you run when it's... I don't think you have a certain number of runs that you have with Deshaun Watson.
It was their second to last possession he threw the pick.
Yeah.
I mean, and
which
it was,
is probably in the third quarter because they didn't have the ball.
Actually, they were up a point at the time.
Yeah, when he threw it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I didn't think it was that late in the game. They had their chances. That was really a bad throw by Deshaun Watson. That was a bad throw. But regardless, we can't say that every quarterback is told at some point you have to learn.
Game, I meant late. He was running to the sideline.
Right.
Late over the middle.
Right. But at some point in the game, at some point as a quarterback, you have to learn to win from the pocket. And Deshaun, I thought, did. Now you also have to have a pocket. And if it breaks down, like Kyler Murray is going to have to learn to get his eyes up. You know, he lost at home yesterday. You got to learn. He had 3 interceptions. Kyler Murray didn't play well yesterday.
No, he didn't.
You got to learn to keep your eyes up. I know he's a great runner, but sometimes you got to learn to keep your eyes up and make teams pay for it when they come up to respect your scrambling.
He had a bad game, and there's no question. And Kyler Murray's been pretty damn good, but he had a bad game yesterday. I don't think there's any question. But when you have the athletic ability that Deshaun has, and one of the things that makes Deshaun a great quarterback is his athleticism. You have to use it somewhat.
Yeah.
I don't want Deshaun to get killed. I don't want him taking a bus to, where was it, Jacksonville?
Right.
I don't want him doing that. I don't want him getting hit like he did against the Cowboys on that Sunday night game. I don't want any of that. But I want him to once in a while take advantage. Again, Ben Roethlisberger ran more than he did yesterday. I mean, yeah. What the hell?
Well, you don't want... So, these are not the same guys. Deshaun is a billion times better than a guy I'm about to mention. But remember when Cordell Stewart tried to show that he wasn't Slash and that he was a pocket quarterback and he lost all that magic he had? You don't want Deshaun to lose that. I get that. At the same time, I want Deshaun to do what he did in the first half yesterday, which is deliver when there's a pocket, stand and deliver, and also, when you break contain, continue to try to beat people with your arm. So I don't want to overdo the second half and say that was all. I mean, they were also behind the sticks. They were in bad down and distance situations for much of the second half. Look, if you can't get well against a Vikings defense, you can't get well. And Jaguars defense too. Man, I thought Gardner Minshew looked crappy against the Miami Dolphins, and Minshew did what he did, what he does all the time. He comes out, he'll have a couple flash games. You think he's better than he actually is. Same thing with the Jaguars. The Texans should, they will be favored in the next two games. They need to win the next two games.
Yes.
Absolutely. That's all there is to it.
756 ESPN 97.5. All right, let's quick break. Anthony, you're going to be first up on the other side. Anybody else has got thoughts, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776. Chastang Ford is what I'm talking about right now. My peeps over there at Chastang Ford, they're just awesome at what they do. So, listen, it has been since, 1933 that the Chastangs have been selling cars in the city of Houston. And you may not have known them, and you're like, what? Well, how, did you know that they're the number one commercial Ford dealership in the city of Houston? That is amazing. You know why? It's because of trust. It's because the businesses believe that they're going to get the best deal, that they're going to get the best service as well. They know this. Chastang Ford won't sell you a truck for your business if it's not the right truck for your business. I mean, Patrick will pass on it and say, no, dude, that's not what you need. This is what you need. I've been doing this forever. He and Joe have been doing it forever, and they know what you need for your business. So if you've got a business now, if you're just looking for that Expedition with unbelievable $20,000 off right now, the F-150 starting at $28,999, the XLT's $10,000 off. It's car after car and truck after truck that you can get at a great price, but you're getting the best in service as well. All right now at Chastang Ford. ChastangFord.com. You can buy online at ChastangFord.com or get to the dealership, Homestead, not Hempstead, on 610, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.